Blog Talk Radio.
And you will say you heard it
first. Let's see. Up close and personal. Good evening, Marvin. So you're not half the man you used to be. Look at that gut.
Groin injury.
Hey!
just on and on and on. And I remember being in those basements and just having those parties. And I remember being in a social club. And so I forgot the name of our club, but we had a pretty cool name, I remember. And but there were a lot of different clubs, and we called them socials. And the girls would come with their group of girls from one social group, and then our social group would be a bunch of guys, and they'd come over and come. Oh man! And it was on, and we just, the music like this would come on and just jam out. We just get up there and just have a great time. And a lot of times, people would meet, you know, a significant other in the group. We got like, yeah, that's the one I want. And so, but anyway, I miss those days, long time ago, high school days, and you know, it was just wonderful. And so much love to you guys. Thank you for tuning in today. This is Wardell Potts Jr. You just finished hearing Wide Receiver, and that was Michael Henderson out of Don's Stash. What's up, Don? What's up, Phoenix? How you guys doing?
Hey, man.
Good. What's going on?
Hey, not much, man. Just, you know, here it is. We got a heat wave going on over here. What'd you say, Phoenix?
Hey, listen, this is Vegas, so I got you. I got you in some.
Yeah.
It is.
It's so hot, dude.
It's too hot to try.
Hey, we're in the three digits. We've been in the three digits for the last day or two, and it's going to be for the next 7 days. The next 7 days, we're going to be in the three digits. It's a heat wave. And so all the way from California, all the way through Phoenix, Arizona, through New Mexico to Texas, it is on. We're in a heat bubble, and it is on fire, dude. Woo, I'm like craving, begging for some rain. Please give us some rain. But it's hot, man. And so, but anyway, I've had a great time. Anyway, I had to work with the kids all week because of Vacation Bible School. So that's been fun with the kids. And, you know, I'm up at 6 o'clock in the morning getting with the kids at 7, and we just have a great time with them until 12 noon. And it's just wonderful watching the elementary school kids is what we're working with, and just teaching them about Jesus. And it's just fun watching them and having a great time with them playing games and all that kind of stuff. So it's been a real blast, even though it's been extremely hot. But it starts off, you know, a little cooler in the morning. But we're starting off at 77, 80 degrees in the morning. And so afternoon come, it is on fire, like what's the name sang the other night. On fire, big time. So what's going on with you guys?
Hey, man, you know, I stay in the woodshed creatively. I'm working on a film project. At some point I'll disclose, but it's a martial arts film, and it's a coming-of-age film. And I love it because it really requires you to dig deep into the social conscience as to why things are the way they are, which kind of leads me into the discussion that I think could evoke some positive conversation. We all are in a creative pool together in one way or another, whether it's in relationships, whether it's on our jobs and we're trying to move progressively forward, or if you are extremely motivated, maybe you're trying to create your own business. You know, you have the entrepreneurial spirit. And so the question that I've been looking into, and you and I had a brief discussion prior to this show, is why do we constantly seek the approval of others, which is interesting because it can segue into our jobs, it can segue into our relationships. Why do we have this tendency, and where does that stem from? Any thoughts?
Don, could you hear what he's saying?
I hear you. I have to step away.
Okay. John, he's going to ask you a question and see if you can answer this question.
Yeah,
I'm posing
the question, why do we constantly seek the approval of others? And as mentioned, it has various tentacles. I mean, it may go through our personal relationships, might have to do with our job, our interpersonal experiences with our colleagues, et cetera. You know, where does this innate fear or approval or receiving approval or validation come from? I think we all have experienced that to some degree or lesser degree. What's your thought on that?
Well, I guess from a standpoint, let's say growing up, going through adolescence and things like that, I come from an adolescent standpoint. And maybe we can, you know, we can discuss, you know, once we got older and we still seek that validation to an extent. I think, you know, it's basic. It's simple. I want to be a part of the cool kids. I want to be liked. You know, I think when you feel like you're a socially awkward, you feel like you are socially awkward, you want to get in the in crowd. I think one of the things, you know, with this, the old cliche of the girl, you want to be on the cheerleading squad, the guy or the guy want to be on the cheerleading squad. It's 2022. Let's keep it real. But the fact that the guy wants to be on the football team, you know, being in the football team is cool. You know, you get that letter, you get that jacket, the Letterman jacket, you know, you want to, put it on, you know, the girl that likes you, she wears your Letterman jacket. It's all about trying to be accepted. How that manifests in going into your adult life, the validity might be a little different, but on a holistic level, it's pretty much the same. You want to be liked. At the end of the day, you don't want to be alone. You don't want to feel that you have to be alone. That's a sinking feeling to some people. You know,
I get that. I mean, so that's basically being validated for approval. But also, you know, do we let that get in the way of our choices, like the choices we make? I know, you know, I have my group of close associates or friends. If there's somebody that I have an interest in, whether it be business or pleasure, I might run it by them.
Yeah.
Girls have a tendency, if they meet a guy, particularly online, they might share the photos and they might get that first reaction or response, you know, which is a segue from the cool kids. You want to be socially accepted. You may color the communication in order, you know, indirectly in terms of struggling with the boundaries of how you approach your communication with your friends. I know I had one buddy. He was always meeting a new girl, you know, and it was hilarious to me because I'm trying to get to the point of the matter. Man, what does she look like? Man, she got a great personality. Hey, man, but what does she look like? Man, she got a banging body. Man, what does she look like? I mean, and we would go through this whole thing and be like, man, she's all right, you know. But, you know, that just kind of scratches the surface. But it's, I think in the times we live today, again, with having social media, we're so inundated with social media, we can tell that there's a consistency with the way people dress, the way they respond, their communications, and it goes through all forms of ethnicities and education and social backdrops. There's almost an unwritten code of communication, I find, today. And so, yes, we can, even as an adult, not even high school or kid level, we could really be have an innate fear of not receiving approval from our social peers. And
I have an experience that I'm experiencing right now. So when I listened to Don explain about, you know, the childhood thing, this is something that's affecting me today. And it's really about acceptance. It's about being accepted in my group of peers, people maybe that I grew up with. And so to be specific, that, I shouldn't, but I am, because I have to trust that, you know, God is in control. But I always, no matter how much success I feel that I've had in the music business, and, you know, and I hear a lot of people say nice things about me, and it really makes me feel good. But, you know, there's a certain group of people that I want to feel that way about me. And these are the people that I grew up with. And not necessarily my friends in my neighborhood, but these are the musicians in the city of Philadelphia that, for me, it means a whole lot to me if I could be accepted by them. You know, kind of like what Don was saying, you know, you feel like you want to be accepted by people, and then you want them to, you know, that you're one of the cool kids. And because I left Philadelphia, you know, it's 1979, I just turned into my 20s. You know, as soon as I was really an adult, I left and went, you know, to college at 18, and then I left and went to California. And so I never was there with them as a young man. Plus, I played jazz when all of them were playing R&B. A lot of them played R&B. Some of them played jazz and R&B, but most of them played R&B. And so now there's this thing that I really just, all I want in my heart of heart is to be accepted by those guys. And it's really weird. It's emotional, because when I heard Don say that earlier, I was like, yeah, I know what he means by feeling accepted. And it's not just a kid thing or just a fun thing, but it's a human thing. Phoenix, it's so human to want to feel accepted. And I feel like it's almost, it's emotional for me, because I can't even get away from it. I'm not worried about it. But it, when those guys in Philadelphia says something to me like they're proud of me, oh man, you just don't know how good that feels to me. And so I don't know why that is, Phoenix. I don't understand why that is. Hold on, it's getting a little loud. Hold on one second. Let me help. Okay, go ahead.
It's definitely validation from a jury of your peers. And yes, it is a human condition that I think it's worthy of discussion, because it can have so many offshoots into, not just from a business or production standpoint, but even in our relationships. If we really go to the point of really caring, I've had people say, "Hey, I don't like this person you chose to spend so much time with," and you might reach a brick wall. And so it comes to a point of diminishing returns. I know for me, I recently had a birth date, and I had time to reflect and look at where my life is. And I no longer need others to validate my truth, you know, and it is not from a combative standpoint, but at some point you reach a precipice where you realize of what value do you place in what other people think, you know?
Right.
Yes, from adolescence, you go through a period of wanting to be with the cool kids. I get that. And then you go through a period of being amongst a jury of your peers. And then you reach a point in your life when you're on the other side of that equation. And you say, wait a minute, how much value do I place in what others think? And again, not from a combative standpoint, but just walking in your truth, I think that's where it becomes pivotal. And everybody arrives at that point at a different period and time in their lives. It's not necessarily gender specific, and it's not necessarily age specific. It's where you are in your life. What is your truth?
Yeah, well,
and do
for
you
me,
live it?
I have not gotten to where you are yet, and because I still feel that sense of validation that I want from them, because I feel like I'm, so I could feel like part of the team, You know, and I don't know what, you know, like, why do I have to feel like part of the team? But I just want to, you know, like, we all started out in the same place. And, you know, and some of us left this, you know, the city of Philadelphia and went in different places and had our careers. And some of them stayed there and had their careers. But even the ones that did, you know, didn't even do really well with, you know, on a professional level, I still want their approval. It's like I don't want them to feel like I abandoned them or the city of Philadelphia.
You know, here's something I wanted to interject from Psychology Today. Here's a quote which goes along the lines of what you're projecting, and it said, "What would it be like if the people in your life did not approve of your decisions or choices?" And it says, is the fear of their disapproval about them or about you? I thought it was amazing. It said, short answer, in italics, it's about you.
So Say it again, can you break it down for me in layman's terms, what you just read?
Okay. I'm reading a quote, and it says, if the people in your life didn't or did not approve of your decisions or your ideas, and it says, is the fear of this disapproval about them or is it about you? And what I thought, what was amazing is the short answer in italics says, it's about you. And I thought that was straight to the point. Bottom line,
it's about me.
It's
about me. It's about you. It's about you, Phoenix. So if it's about you, what does that mean? It's about you.
Well, because it's your perception. Perception is everything.
Self-reflection.
Yeah.
Self-reflection.
You know, perception is everything. And so bottom line is, even when I was hearing you express it, you know, you're this great guy, you're this great musician, you're this accomplished a musician, but you're still seeking the approval of others, and you hope that they feel the same way, or they say, hey, man, we are in acceptance of what you're doing. And it says, the Psychology Today mentions that it's a fear of disapproval. Is it about them or is it about you? Short answer, it's about you. So perception is everything. Once you get past that, and as you know, you delineated, I feel like I'm at a point in my life where I'm non-threatened by what other people think. I don't go out of my way to be the oddball out, but I no longer need others to validate my truth. That changed my perception. That changed the lens that I look through. And it helps me creatively, because when I'm creating something years ago, man, I used to go 9 ways a Sunday to make various changes in order to constantly better the equation. Now I'm able to let that go and get out of the way of that and live that truth and allow what I'm doing to speak, or like they say today, we've coined the phrase, to live in your truth, if that makes sense to you.
Can you?
Does it?
Yes, it does. Can you, Don, did you want to say something?
No, I think it's I just wanted to kind of add, I think it's incumbent for us to self-reflect on who we are and what our end goal is, you know, when it comes to, from a standpoint of what, trying to be accepted. Like Phoenix was talking about earlier, you know, once it manifests to our adulthood, you know, how are those things, and I guess paraphrasing a little bit, how are those things positive as far as when you get an adult? Do you look for acceptance, let's say, when it comes to your career? Let's say when you're in college or whatever, and you want to be around these cool engineers, you know, so you can get your engineering degree, you know, things like that. And it's all about, to me, once you get older, it all, and there's that word again, it all manifests to your sense of longing, your sense of purpose, or not wanting to be alone, and your sense of having some type of gratification when it comes to your career achievements. So those things are all play a part, and it's all connected at the end of the day.
And interestingly, like I said, it's not gender specific. It's not even age specific. I mean, yes, you'd like to think you get older and you'd like to think you get smarter. But I've come across a lot of young people that just have it together. You know, they know what they want. They know where they're at. Their dress code reflects their lifestyle. They're not even competitive. They're not even in any way combative. So the sooner, in my humble opinion, just to finish the thought, the sooner you arrive at that complete circle, the better for me, I think, personally, to know what your truth is. Because it's nobody else. You have your own blueprint. We all have been created within our own blueprint.
Said.
And we have to find what that blueprint is for you. And if you live your life trying to fit someone else's blueprint,
but
you're kind of missing in the beauty of who you are.
But hold on, but it still doesn't change the fact. See, I know what my blueprint is, and I know that I want what I wanted to do. I'm like those young kids. I knew what I wanted to do, and I went for it. And I was really blessed to be able to get, you know, what I wanted out of, you know, my desires. But, you know, and that was just to be a professional musician. But it still has not changed the fact that I have this desire to be accepted by the people I grew up around, the musicians that I grew up around. I don't know why that is so. I have no control over that. To tell the truth, I have no control over this feeling. I could simply say, if I wanted to, okay, I don't care. I'm good. But that's not the truth. That's like I'm making up a wall. I'm build a wall between my feelings and my feelings. I'm just going to say no, between me and my friends. I'm going to build up a wall and put fake feelings up there that I don't care, but I really do care. See, I'm being real honest. I care about their feelings about me.
So would you agree or disagree that it's about you?
I don't know what it's about. This feeling is my feeling. So that's about me.
So it is about
you. Known unknowns.
Yeah. I think he's fighting it, but it really sounds from a generic standpoint.
I think so too.
It's you. That's all. I mean, don't fight it. It's you. Perception is everything. You know, listen.
Man versus self.
Can you imagine going to a restaurant? Can you imagine going to a restaurant and you're going there for ribeye, steak, spinach, sweet potato, and a good tossed salad? And you got your mind ready for that. That's your perception. You're going to the top steakhouse, and that's what you plan. And then the guy comes over with this big spoon, and he dumps this lump in your plate, and he says, those all of those things that you wanted, but I pureed it, you know, like baby food. Are you accepting of that? That is an amalgamation of what you asked for, but now your perception is altered. You see, so perception is everything. You go to restaurant to see that's in your mind.
That's too heavy for me. I can't relate to that one. That one's too.
You get what I'm saying, Don?
I have a baby mind.
Let me give you a quick personal anecdote. I'm 18, well 17 going on 18. I'm an awkward kid. You know, I was that social misfit. Freshman year going into college, fall of 1992, I see And I've seen them on TV, and then I felt like I always wanted to be in a fraternity. And, you know, but I saw, you know, I saw these guys, you know, I saw the guys with canes, and I saw the guys with hard stepping, and the guys barking, and I thought, oh my God, those guys are cool. So, you know, my second semester, I ended up pledging. I became a member of Alpha Phi Alpha Fraternity Incorporated. And, you know, because I felt, well, I always wanted to be one, and I know it's a little cliche to say that, but, you know, to belong, you know, you wanted to belong to somebody. And the reputation that, you know, a lot of the alphas had was, yeah, they were smart brothers. They graduated. Sometimes some of them were socially awkward. I'm going to keep it real. So I felt I fit right in. And, you know, once I had those letters, I came, you know, head shaved, everything, you know, our first function, our first dance or whatever, party, the girls started liking it, you know. And again, all of these hitting you as an 18-year-old, that's something that you want to keep that fire burning. You want to keep that desire going as an 18-year-old, you know, because, you know, and again, it's not about it's not about just having the letters on, because that's materialistic. But the fact that to me, having that A on your shirt, or A5A on your shirt, was somehow some validation. Again, this is the mind of an 18-year-old. That it was a validation. You just had to work it with your charm. You had to do the rest. The letters open the door for you. You just got to let them walk in with your charm. And that's what I did. So, you wanted to keep that going. You wanted to keep that fuel, that tank full, and you never wanted to run out of gas, so to say, you know, when it came to that. And again, that's how I was looking. I wanted acceptance, through that lens, you know. But again, I just wanted to go ahead and share that.
I don't know if that clears it up for him. Does that for you, Don? I mean, Wardell?
Well,
I'm just talking about my anecdote,
right, right,
my
right.
life.
Right, right.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's the. I'm glad you said that. I'm glad you said that too, Phoenix. I'm glad both of y'all said what y'all just said. What Don just said. I respect that, and I appreciate that. That's his experience, and that's how he felt. And what Phoenix said was so intellectually above me that I could not understand part of it. But that's who Phoenix is, right? But he's this guy that's who he grew up to be. Now for me, this is who I am. I'm this person that just, regardless to what I want to know. What I want to know is why I need the acceptance from my peers. I don't know why. I want to know why. Like, what's the psychological?
Well, I could take a crack at that, Wardell. I could take a crack at
hormones
that.
Hormones for an 18-year-old.
No, I could take a crack at that. I think that from what I've come to know about you, you know, you're a very loving person. You're obviously a spiritual person. You function within the church under the auspices of a minister. And you exude this kindness, this love. Love permeates all things in which you do. And to me, love should always be reciprocal. You know, you could love someone.
No, that's good.
Who
that's good.
You know, sometimes you could love someone and it's not reciprocal, and it leaves you dissatisfied
because you're saying
to yourself, I love you, and I've invested my love in you, and I've watered this love to make it grow, but there's no rosebud.
It's not growing. Right, yeah, it's not growing.
It's not grown. It's not reciprocal.
Right,
and so
right.
I think fitting your darkier, fitting your complexity, it's very important to be reciprocated, to be loved in return. And
it
if
is.
That's your music, if that's your progression,
it is.
If that's something that you're doing and you're sharing amongst your intimate associates, you want to be reciprocated.
Listen, I got to say this. I got to say this on behalf of my friends. One of my really, really close friends, she don't understand. She just like I've had conversations with her and she's like, I don't understand why guys can't just let me be their friend. Why is it always something more, you know, just like, and then I have other friends that are gay and they're like their childhood friends they were afraid to come out of the closet because people were going to treat them differently and look at them differently and not care. And you want to be accepted as your friends, but I'm not the same person as you are. I'm different, but it doesn't make me not love you. And it doesn't make me not want to be loved by you. And so people have a hard time coming out, but they want to be accepted by these people who they love. And it's hard because some people have different motives. They are just different. Like my friend, that she can't figure out why the guys in our band, well, in the band of people that we're around, why can't they just like her as a person and not as a female? You know, why is it always like, you know, or do you think you got some time, you can come spend a night or something? Like, what are you talking about? Would you say that to Wardell? No. Well, don't say it to me. It's so people just.
Well, I don't always agree with Steve Harvey, but he recently said in a segment that men are pretty simple, and I kind of agreed with that. He said, you know, we're not as complicated as females are. Far more complex. They have more complexities. They have more angles to them. Because I think the way they're made to nurture the young and to take care of people and to be aunts and sisters and sisterhoods and even the way they greet each other. If you ever watch two women come together, they openly embrace each other in their bosom and they hug them and they kiss them. Men don't, not unless your name is Wardell. Most men, we don't do that. We keep our distance. But what Steve Harvey said, which was interesting, he said men are pretty simple. He said we're hunters. That's it. We're hunters. You know, we come in for the prey. You know, we see something that we like and we go for it. Now, it's not always, again, reciprocated. You know, and I tell young guys that I've tutored all the time, I said, be careful because you may choose a woman, but a woman may not choose you. And if she says no, no means no. And a lot of young guys don't understand that because they don't, you know, we could talk about that on another topic. But rejection is really difficult, particularly for young adults.
I know that. And
many
go and commit
suicide based on that alone.
Yeah. But I hear what you're saying. I just want to make sure we stay on the topic of acceptance because that's that right there to me. You know, the more we talk about that, when it makes me, because I can't get past it. I haven't gotten past it. And I know a lot of people that can't get past it or haven't gotten past it either because it's just, is it a natural thing to want acceptance? Isn't it a natural thing to want to be accepted?
Well, I just, you know, I just took a crack at your situation, understanding you to a certain extent.
Right, reciprocal.
That's all.
Right.
I think you want it to be reciprocated. I don't think you want to invest in love and the intimacy of that friendship or relationship and receive no energy in return. I've been a performer on stage. And one of the greatest things about performing on stage is the electricity of the audience participating with you. It's this push-pull. It's like this. It's back and forth, this energy. And any live artist has experienced it where, you know, the performer will take the mic and point it to the crowd and the crowd sings a phrase and then the performer sings it. That's a reciprocal connection.
Yes. Connection.
Oh, man,
yeah.
It's an intimate connection.
Absolutely.
And I love that.
I say it all the time when I'm praising. I say we're praising together. You know, when I'm at church and I'm playing for the Lord, we are playing. It's the you and me, and we're doing all this together. So what a beautiful, beautiful experience that you're speaking about right there, because I love it. I love it, and I can't wait for it to happen again. I just love going on the stage. I love the response. I love that give and take. So reciprocal is the answer. That is it. Yeah. That is it. I want.
Well, I'm glad we found that nugget, you know.
Yes.
Because, you know, listen, it's a broad, the topic is broad and varied, and we can go into various tangents from, like, we talk everything from adolescence into adult. But I've tried to be careful and responsible enough to say it's not age or gender specific. You know, you mentioned the gay and lesbian communities. You know, there are so much complexities in the world today that we don't want to isolate one from another. But
right,
if we
right.
recognize that we all reach those plateaus at different times, and it might be a six-year-old kid that just knows that they want to be the president, or they want to be a ballerina, or they want to be an astronaut, and they want to be Buzz
right.
Lightyear, and they are hell-bent, pardon the expression, to get that done. And their
yes.
parents are in perfect synchronicity with it, and they know it. And no matter what their friends say, because I, you know what, I was always the black sheep, so I got accustomed to people not agreeing with me. And and my mama told me, she said, son, what don't break you will make you stronger. And I totally get the import of that now, because I've arrived at a point in my life where I know my truth. And like I said several times in this discussion, I'm not combative. I'm not adversarial. I'm not, and in times I seek solace. I find myself in a meditative state. Fortunately, I have my music. I do have very intimate friends. Many books talk about how many true friends do you have, and most agree it's under five. In fact, if you have one good true friend, man, but there are a lot of people that think they have a lot of friends until you evaluate and you say, well, those are actually associates, those are actually colleagues, those are people that you've met but you don't really know. Your intimate friend is when all else fails and they're the first, I mean, you're on the ledge and you pick up the phone and call Wardell. That's your truest friend, because you are ready to expose your heart to them. And you know that their modus operandi is as such, where they're not going to carve out your heart. They're going to gently, like a surgeon, and they're going to go in and separate the fat, and they're going to give you exactly what you need. And the operation is going to be successful because they're going to treat you with those kid-skin gloves. That's the truest friend, one who's going to give you a dose of truth when you need it the most.
Wow, that's a great closing line. We have gone 15 minutes over because it got so good to it. I could not end it. And man, I love the reciprocal thing. It is just, that is so good, because that's exactly where I think I am. And so thank you so much, man. I appreciate your wisdom on that and analyzing my situation and blessing us. So we're gonna
take a crack at it. I mean, you're a pretty easy guy to know, because, you know, love is a four-letter word, but it's all encompassing. When somebody truly loves you, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. I mean, we normally think of a mother's love, because a mother doesn't love one child over another, not typically. A mother doesn't say, well, I like my skinny child over the heavy-set one, or they don't
say
one who economically did better. They love just unilaterally
yes.
across the board.
Exclusively, that is,
they
that's
love.
That's mine.
And that's what I love. You know, you want somebody with no holes barred that's going to love you like that. I think we all search, no matter who we are, what station in life, what choices we make, we want love. Love is a superlative quality. So kudos, bro.
Well, thank you, sir. Much love, man. And have a blessed and beautiful weekend. And And we're going to, now we're going to go to the segment of old school music. So guys, we want you to go down memory lane with us here on Soul Art Records Radio. I'd like to thank Phoenix, my brother. I could tell, I have never met Phoenix in person, but I'm scared to stand next to him. He looks tall. And I'm short. I'm a short drummer, right? So, and I just, one of my, oh, it was Greg. He was just at the concert, and I got him some backstage passes to go see Shalimar. And so he's back there with Jeffrey Daniels, and they took a picture together. I go, good gracious, Greg, you are tiny. So, and I did, and so he says, man, I got to grow. I got to get taller. And it made me think about when I was standing next to him, my pastor, and we took a picture. And I saw that picture. I said, man, I look like his girlfriend. I'm so short. I got to get, so I don't want to take pictures next to tall guys anymore. I'm insecure. But anyway, man, I look forward to hanging out and seeing you. You know, like I said, we're going to be over that way in July. I'm just not sure exactly what road we're going to take, but I'll be in touch with you if we come by you up there in Vegas.
Sounds
okay?
Good,
all right. Absolutely. Man. God bless you.
Okay, bro.
And thank you, man.
Okay,
love you much, man. Appreciate you, bro.
You
yeah,
too.
Don's gone. All right. I'll tell him. I'll tell him what you said.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
We'll be back, guys.
All right.
All right. Whoa. Look at that.
Oh, Thank you. At first I was afraid, I was petrified, kept thinking I could never live without you by my side. But then I spent so many nights thinking how you did me wrong, and I grew strong, and I learned how to get along. And now you're back from outer space, I just walked in to find you here with that bad look upon your face. I should have changed that stupid lock, I should have made you leave your key. If I had known for just 1 second, you'd be back to bother me. Go on now, go, walk out the door, just turn around now, cause you're not welcome anymore. When you're the one who tried to hurt me with goodbye, did you think I'd crumble? Did you think I'd lay down and die? Oh no, not I,
and the land is dark and the moon is the only light we'll see. No, I won't be afraid. Oh, I won't be afraid. Just as long as you stand by me. So darling, tumble and fall, or the mountain should crumble to the sea. I won't cry, I won't cry, no, I won't shed a tear, just as long as you stand by me. And all
Miss Betty Swan. Right there, man, oh man, make me yours. I want to be yours. And I love that, Betty. I love that you want to be mine. And you know, it's I do whatever I can, you know, if I feel the same way, right? It's like, it's got to be this mutual thing. And I think that it's really sad if someone takes advantage of someone who's just saying, make me yours, but they're not really into them. They just want to take advantage of the opportunity. Oh, man, Wardell, be quiet. Good gracious. I sure can mess up a good thing, right? People are like, come on, man. But, you know, that's the difference between the old Wardell and the new Wardell. The old Wardell's like, hey, let's just have a good time and enjoy it. But the new Wardell is like, that's not God-like. Don't play with somebody else's heart and their life if you can't, you know, if you can't give them what they want. Don't take advantage of it. And so, you know, it's kind of crazy because life is a lot more complicated than we think it is. And when you look at all of these kids that are, you know, these people out here are hurting other people, doing the things that they're doing, whether it's mass shootings or, you know, people committing suicide, we realize life is much more serious. It's not a joke and people are hurting. And so sometimes someone says that, you know, make me yours. They, you know, like some save me from where I am. Where I am is very uncomfortable. And it's really important, I believe, that we pay attention to people when they're talking. Listen to the words that are coming out of their mouth because they're telling us something. They are saying something. And even if they don't say anything, they're saying something. So just pay attention as a decent human being looking after one another, and whether it's someone you know or not, because people are talking and they're hurting. And, you know, as a Christian brother or sister, you know, I'm just asking you on behalf of Christ to reach out and be there and love on somebody and let Christ use you as a vessel to take care of his children. All right? All right, guys. So let's keep this thing going on Solar Records Radio. We got 49 minutes left in the show, and I thank you so much for tuning in on this beautiful Thursday. It is hot, hot, hot in Texas. 102 right where I am right now. Ooh, Lord. That's heat. What do you call it? A lovely day.
When I wake up in the morning, love, and the sunlight hurts my eyes, something without warning, love, bears heavy on my mind. Then I look at you, and the world's all right with me. Just one look at you, and I know it's gonna be a lovely day. I know it's gonna be principle of faith. And when someone else instead of me always seems to know the way, then I look at you and the world's all right with me. I just one look at you and I know it's all.
Bye.
rely on me to supply your needs from now on. Shelter you and be a pillar to lean on. For in your eyes I see what I was born to be. And now, now my life can begin. For I am your man. Oh, yes I am, yes I am. I'm your man. Listen, darling. There's no sacrifice great or small I wouldn't do. My ambition is bringing happiness to you. And if trouble comes our way, I won't.
This soul school is so good to me. I'm enjoying it. I hope you are too. Let me lift it up just a little bit for you. Just a little bit. Come on.
Thank you.
Feeling good, man. I gotta tell you, I
got a certain way I like to do things. I like consumer cellular. I get unlimited talk.
You know, just stop talking right now. Just stop talking. Anyway, guys, I just want to tell you, thank you so much for tuning in and hanging out with me today on Solar Records Radio. This is Wardell Potts Jr., and you are hanging out with me on Solar Records Radio. Thanks for choosing Solar, as I know you have many other choices and many other places you can go and stream your music from. So thanks for tuning in. If you want to, you can join our group here on Facebook, Solar Records Radio, the group page. You would love it. The people are awesome, like I always tell people. Really, really good people. So come hang out with us. Now, tomorrow, I want to make sure I share with you that tomorrow, every Friday on Solar Records Radio, we celebrate the sound of Los Angeles Records. So it'll be all about Solar tomorrow at 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And if you have any questions or thoughts, or you want to share a memory or anything, please feel free to either text it to me through Messenger, or you can call in at 646-668-8537. Once again, that's 646-668-8537. Or you can email us at solarrecordsradio@gmail.com. Once again, that's solarrecordsradio@gmail.com. God bless you guys, and we really, really love you and appreciate you. And thanks for, you know, blessing us with your presence. Thank you so much. Now, I want to, a couple of weeks ago, we had Blue Magic on the show. And man, oh man, what a great interview. Thanks to Vernon, my brother. Much love to you back there in New York. New York. Anyway, I'm not a singer, right? All right. So anyway, I want to get to the music from Blue Magic. I just love this song. It's an amazing song, and it's called What's Come Over Me.
Thank you.
Guys, up and out of here. That was a
man. Appreciate you hooking that up.
You know what? Appreciate you suggesting it. Tell us about it.
Man, you know, that's my girl. That's Karen Wheeler. Of course, Karen Wheeler was in the group Soul to Soul, Keep On Moving, Back to Life. Just a great vocalist, went on and did some solo things in the early 90s, went back to solo, Soul to Soul, and she's still out there doing it, man, so shout out to her. Beautiful sister, beautiful voice. I love a lot of that great music coming across the pond, coming from across the pond. So I had to hook that up. From 1990, music from the lovely Miss Karen Wheeler, Living in the Light. Thank you, Wardell, for hooking that up.
Amen, bro. You got it, man. Thank you so much. That was a great song, and I'm happy that she's still doing her thing. And so, guys, look, we're up and out of here tomorrow, 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We will be celebrating the sound of Los Angeles Records. And then I believe tonight, Don Fleming, at 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. Is that right?
There you go. You didn't know.
hey, you better ask somebody. And then you got Goldie Mac. The triple threat here on Solar Records Radio today, every Thursday. And so tune in. His show will be on at 11 p.m. Eastern Standard. So thank you guys so much for making us your choice. As we know, you have many choices, and we appreciate you, and thank you for being the best part of Solar Records Radio. And if you want to donate
to our show
to help us to continue to keep going, you got to go to Solar Cash App. Is that it, Don?
Yeah, Solar Records Radio, all one big word. $ Solar Records Radio.
All right. There you go. Thank you guys for blessing us. We appreciate you. And you all have a blessed rest of your day, evening, afternoon, just depending on where you are.
See you tonight.
All right, yeah. Yeah, Don, can't wait. All right. And we'll be talking to you guys soon. God bless you all. Peace out. All right, Don, be safe out there.
Yes, sir. You too.
All right.
Just got finished Friday.
Teddy, you guys be cool.